name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As I've been talking these past few weeks in the sermons, the church places certain feasts, certain commemorations on each Sunday, beginning as we prepare those four Sundays as we prepare for Lent, and then as we go through Lent itself, which of course is our preparation for Pascha. And today is no different. Today we have reached, or this week, this full week, we will be at the halfway point of our Lenten journey, our Lenten struggle. And so the church sets out for us today, and it will be out in all of our divine services this week, at least through our pre-sanctified on Wednesday, the church sets out before us the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. As a reminder to us to think ahead and remember the sermon that you'll hear on Pascha that we read every year from St. John Chrysostom, where he says, it doesn't matter whether you were perfect in following the fast or whether you didn't follow it at all. You're invited to the great banquet because of what Christ did for us. And so remember that today as you come and venerate the cross of Christ, because some of us inevitably are feeling like we're having a, quote, good Lenten season. We've been good in our fasting. We've been good in our church attendance and so forth. And yet we're reminded today that while that may be beneficial for us, the only reason that we have that opportunity for it to be beneficial is because of Christ, as you see here, hanging on the cross. At least when you come to venerate it, it might be too flat for you to see right now, but Christ hanging from the tree. And if your Lenten season has gone poorly so far, you have a chance to turn it around. But nevertheless, we remember that even if we are unable to, that God still loves us. We see here these open arms of Jesus on the cross, as we'll hear in St. John's Gospel during Holy Week, inviting us in, drawing us in to his loving embrace. Yet at the same time, brothers and sisters, I think that it's unfortunate because we're so used to the cross. We have it here in front of us a couple of times a year, both during the middle of Lent, in September, the middle of September, when we celebrate the exaltation of the cross. We wear it on our bodies. Some of us even tattoo it on our bodies. It's become ubiquitous, meaning that it's just something normal. It's something that we look at, and sometimes we can forget its significance. Because, brothers and sisters, the cross was a weapon. The cross was a weapon that was used by the Roman Empire. It was a weapon that would give you a brutal death. But the point of the brutality was not just to be mean to you or whatever, but it was to humiliate you, to put you on a public display. What would happen if you crossed the power of the Roman Empire? And that, brothers and sisters, is the reason why Jesus was hung on the cross. It's because the Roman Empire of the time recognized it was threatened by him, as every empire is threatened by him and his teaching and his work and his words. And so the Roman Empire decided to humiliate him, to cause him the shame, the pain, with hanging there on the cross, saying, look at this man. And we'll hear about it during Holy Week in the Gospels. This man said he was the Son of God. And look at him now, hanging up there on the cross, suffocating to death. That's how he ultimately died on the cross, by asphyxiation. He couldn't draw any more breath. You know, brothers and sisters, we should think about it, I believe, when we see the cross, we should think about it as we would think today about the electric chair. Can you imagine the insanity of processing around this church with a figure of an electric chair with a bunch of red carnations around it and saying we bow down and worship before it, people would say you're nuts. And that's what people said, most people said, of the early Christians. What on earth are you doing? Bowing before and depicting this weapon of brutality. But yet it was through the worst things of this world, the worst of humanity, the way that we so often treat one another with this brutality and with this humiliation, it was through that that our Lord decided to redeem the world. And we hear in some of the hymns that it was through the tree that we fell. Remember the tree in paradise? The tree that from which Adam and Eve were not supposed to eat, and yet they ate. And it is through the tree of the cross that we have been redeemed. But let us also remember, brothers and sisters, that the meaning of the cross is not in the physical suffering, primarily. That's why in our church you don't see a lot of blood and gore depicted. You just see a little bit of blood around Jesus' hands and out of his side. And the emphasis is not on the physical suffering, but it's on the suffering of shame, of humiliation. And that's why we heard in Mark's gospel today, if you are ashamed of me and my words, then I will be ashamed of you at the judgment seat. So when we hear about taking up our cross and following Christ, what that means is not that we should do some great physical suffering. You know, some people think that the reason that we fast is to suffer. Somehow, human beings throughout the history of the world couldn't eat meat every day, most of them. And we Americans think, wow, we're really suffering because I have to go without meat for 40 days. That's not what it's about. I explained what fasting is about earlier when I said we go back to the diet that was in paradise. The diet before the fall. And also, it's a discipline for us. It's a discipline for us so that we don't just do whatever we want to do when we want to do it. But it's not because of physical suffering. People think, oh, the reason that we do St. Basil's liturgy, the longer divine liturgy during Lent, is because it causes us to suffer more because we're in church longer. I mean, what does that tell you? Think about church. That it's suffering to be here. That should be the first key that that's the problem. No, the reason we do St. Basil's liturgy is during the season of Great Lent, we tend to go back to the beginning. St. Basil's liturgy precedes in time. Chronologically speaking, St. John Chrysostom's liturgy. It was the liturgy used every Sunday throughout the Roman Empire for quite some time. Until St. John Chrysostom's liturgy replaced it. The pre-sanctified services. They used to be served, or could be served, every Wednesday and Friday. Now we just keep that tradition during Great Lent. So it's not about the suffering. And so often, brothers and sisters, we hear people misuse the cross. We hear people say, oh, they have cancer. That's just the cross they have to bear. No, it's not the cross they have to bear. I don't like cancer any more than any of you, and I feel sorry for people who have to suffer through it. And those who have can tell you that there are spiritual lessons that can be drawn from going through that suffering and relying on God and His mercy to get you through it. But it's not bearing a cross. Bearing a cross is suffering shame for the name of the Lord. Taking up your cross is being willing to be ashamed for sticking up for the outcasts, for the poor and the needy, for those who are humiliated by our society. Taking up the cross is willing to suffer shame because you believe that through this weapon, the world has been redeemed. Taking up the cross is being willing to be ashamed in the face of those who think that you're an idiot. Because you believe in Jesus and the work that He did for us. And so, brothers and sisters, as we have out here this weapon that we now venerate, that our Lord and Savior, has turned into an object of veneration for us. Let us remember as we finish this Lenten season that our entire struggle as Christians is so that we would be able someday to take up the shame that is associated with the way of Jesus. That we would be willing, like Him, even to go to a miserable, humiliating death, because we are willing to stick to His teaching and His teaching alone. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord of mercy.
Thus the faithful pray for the catechumens that the Lord will have mercy on them.
Lord of mercy.
Word of truth.
Lord of mercy.
Gospel of righteousness.
And look us down upon.
Lord of mercy.
Catholic and apostolic church, make them honor.
Lord of mercy,
help them and keep them, O God, by Thy grace.
Unto knowledge of
Lord of mercy,
the Lord ye catechumens.
Through Thee, O Lord,
that with us they may glorify Thine all honorable and majestic name, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now and ever and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
As many as are catechumens depart, depart, catechumens. As many as are catechumens depart, let none of the catechumens remain. As many as are of the faithful, again and again in peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help us, save us, have mercy on us, and keep us, O God, by Thy grace, wisdom.
That guarded always by Thy might, we may ascribe glory unto Thee, to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages.
Pleasure of the flesh is worthy to approach and draw nigh to serve Thee, O King of glory, for to serve Thee is a great and fearful thing, even to the heavenly powers. Nevertheless, through Thine unspeakable and boundless love toward mankind, Thou didst become man, yet without change of mind. By the power of Thy Holy Spirit, enable me. I draw near Thee and bow in prayer. Thy servants, but vouchsafe that these gifts may be offered. Who mystically represent the
Thank you.
that each transgresses thy
ways.